Good morning. A hearty welcome to each and every one of you that has come to this morning's worship service. My name is Jeff Hildebrander, and it's certainly a joy to be here. We want to look at God's Word this morning, and I guess the topic I have chosen is encouragement, or maybe not that, not encouragement necessarily, but not giving up either. So we want to look at God's Word this morning as we do that, and I want to greet you with the words that we find in Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, where it says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And you know, as we journey through our life and we walk with the Lord, we know that there are challenges. We also know that there's things that go on in our lives that, you know, can bring us down. And this morning, I want to encourage you with God's Word. So before we get started, let's unite with an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace this morning, we want to thank you for the opportunity that we have to fellowship here with you this morning. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy that you continue to show us as your people. Father, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds to your leading and guiding this morning, that as we look through your Word, we will be encouraged, we'd be lifted up, and Father, that we would go out into the world and do the same for others, that we would encourage others, and Lord, that we would share the news of salvation through Jesus Christ, so that many people would be brought to the fold. So Father, as we think of those people that could not be here this morning for whatever reason, we ask that you would be with them as well. Father, wherever the word is being preached in truth, we ask that you bless those speakers and those that are to receive your word. We also ask, Lord, that you would place a hedge of protection around the sanctuary, around the Sunday school and their teachers. And Lord, all of us that are here, that you would embrace us, that Satan and his forces would have no part here, but that you and you alone would be honored and glorified. We pray all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. At this time, we'll have a couple of songs, please.
Let's take the red hymnal and turn to number 288, "When We Walk with the Lord." 288.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us.
310, Safe in the Arms of Jesus.
Well, thank you for that singing and that playing. All right, if you have your Bibles along with you this morning, I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. And we want to begin with verse 10. So Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I respect in the person of respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Well, here Paul is writing, to the Philippian church, and he is telling us here that we need to understand that we are going to go through scenarios in life where we're going to face some challenges, and we will definitely have some times of need, and maybe we feel that we lack. But we are also reminded in verse 10 that we are to rejoice in the Lord. And that is what I want to encourage us with today. We see so many things happening in this world today. I can't even begin to fathom what it must have been like 100 years ago and the progress we say we are making in technology and so forth, and in maybe in how people are cared for, how it has moved and transformed and changed. If we could go back 100 years, most of us cannot, but if we could go back 100 years and we would look at that, how that all was handled then and to compare to today, we would say we would probably live a much easier life. And whatever life we're in and whatever state we are in, we have to understand something. We need to learn how to be content. And that's pretty easy when things are going well. Brother Pete and I were talking this morning about the crops. Many of you maybe are involved in the farming industry to some degree. I certainly am. And I worked close to Winkler here. And I just look at the crops that came in last year to what it looks like the potential is for this year. And it's amazing the difference. And here we are told that we are supposed to be content. We need to learn how to be content. And how do we come to learn that? Well, if we are just going to live on the mountain, so to speak, all our lives, we don't know how to live in the valley. And sometimes living in the valley is hard. And I'm referring it to being a low period in our life. And when we see that, sometimes it's very difficult as we go through that journey. But when we come out of it and we're living on that mountain again, which is a positive and encouraging time in our lives, it seems so rewarding. So here we know that we can only do this through the strength of Jesus Christ. So that's our starting point. And we're going to go into the Old Testament, and we're going to look at a story in the book of Chronicles of a king. And this is King Asa. And we're going to look at his journey in his life. So turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles. And we're going to go through the whole chapter 15. So it's 19 verses. And we're going to look at what a godly king can accomplish. So 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Let's look at those words closely and carefully. What direction was King Asa given? To seek the Lord, okay? And then the writer goes on to say, he will be found in you if you seek him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. God will forsake you. In other words, God is not going to be with you because you have forsaken him. So you see the action if we do not invite God into our life. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. So it doesn't really give us a definitive time here, but it's saying for a long time, the people of Israel fell away from God and from the law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. So now we see that as soon as the people, and that can include us today, if we come back to the Lord will be found. And in those times there was no peace to them that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And the nation was destroyed of nation, the city of and and the city of city, and God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. So we are not to be slack, we are to work, and our work will be rewarded. Now, let's get into King Asa here, the transition. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. So we see the king's transition. Get rid of the idols. So if you're familiar with the Old Testament history, and I would encourage you to read it. It's full of good information for us. The high places, that's where a lot of the evil kings would mount their idols so they could be seen of the nations and of the people, and they would worship these idols. And here, King Asa realizes something needs to be done. So he puts away these idols. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with him out of Ephraim and Manasseh, and went out of Simeon, for they felt to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord God was with him. So after King Asa does all these things, and he does what is right in God's eyes, people begin to notice. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Let's go back to verse 2. The Lord is with you while you be with him if you seek him. You see the transition. Now the people, let's go back. We see that they had left for a long season in verse 3. We don't know the time, but they left for a long season. We see that transition happening, and now they're back. They're seeking God, and look what happens. Verse 13. That whosoever should not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. To me, they had a celebration. That's how I interpret that. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I understand it. They had this celebration. Verse 15, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. And also concerning Micah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. And here in verse 17, but the high places were not taken out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. When I read that and I looked at that, I felt that this was the one mistake maybe that Asa made, is he didn't remove the high places. Maybe he should have totally removed them, but he didn't. And his heart, however, was, as it says here, was perfect all his days. And he brought unto the house of God all things that his father had dedicated, that he himself had dedicated, silver, gold, and vessels. And there was no more war until 5 and 30th year of the reign of Asa. So there was peace in the land. Do we have peace in our land today? Maybe we are not at physical war. We certainly are in a spiritual warfare. And maybe we can align this to help us overcome and gain victory. When we look at the spiritual warfare that we are going through, we see things that are happening that were actually happening even at the time of King Asa. When we see what he needed to do to get rid of an idol, he did exactly that. He got rid of the idols. He actually removed, let's go back to verse 16. And also concerning Micah, the mother of Asa, the king, okay, he removed her from being queen. Why? Because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook, Kidron. In other words, he was cleansing his home, cleansing his family. And it didn't matter who it was. Here, it was the queen, and she needed to be removed because of the idol worship that she had in her life. So, as we move forward, and as we consider how do we overcome all these things that are going on in the world, we know, and we go back to verse 8, it talks about the abominable idols, and it talks about the lands they were in. What did they do? Towards the end of that verse, it says they renewed the altar of the Lord. So there's this huge transformation happening. And this is what I believe our churches need, our country needs. We as a believing nation need. We have been torn away from the truth of the God that we are to serve, that we are to honor, and that we are to glorify. In layman's terms, we have put maybe God on the back burner, and we have left him behind. And we cannot do that. We have maybe turned to something other than God to worship. Maybe we are going through this valley because soon there will be a reckoning. I don't know. I'm not a prophet. I don't know if there's going to be a reckoning. At least I have not been given any information as to that to this day. But maybe there will be a reckoning. And maybe then we can climb the mountain. And maybe we will stand upon that mountain and honor God again as we should. So I want to encourage you this morning to take a good hard look at your life. Take a good hard look at your lifestyle. And see where you stand before God. We all need to do this. All of you, all of us. We need to make sure we are right with God. Because that's what gets us home. We can go after the silver and gold of this world. We can go after fame or fortune. But what does it get us in the end? So what do? We seek the Lord. That is my encouragement to you. We cannot give up searching for him. We have to keep driving forward. I wonder if we would be honest and we would take a poll this morning, and we would voice our concerns and our thoughts on people that we know maybe in our homes, how many of them have fallen away from God? Are we reminding our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren of the significance of God in our life? One thing we know from this book in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, King Asa reformed a nation. One man's dedication to God changed a nation. So maybe one family at a time, we can change our families. Do we stand on truth, or do we substitute it? Ask yourself that question. Before we go to the second portion of the service this morning, I want to share a little story with you. There's a scenario, many scenarios like this, especially with the peer pressure in the world that we are seeing. There are different forms of peer pressure. We all know that. So, for example, when I was going to high school, we had the peer pressure essentially of three things that I recall. It was smoking, drinking, and drugs. If you wanted to hang out with the crowd, those were kind of the three things that were pushed on you. And if you didn't either do some of those or all of them, you were either a mama's boy or a sissy or whatever you were, Bible thumper. They had all sorts of names for you. But there was peer pressure. And we were warned of that by our parents. And we saw it. We went through it. I went through it personally. I didn't make all the right choices. It's interesting what I see now. We have the peer pressure of the homosexual movement. And I see grandparents, parents, saying, now that my child is involved in this, it's okay. And I ask myself this question. I'll be honest with you, I'm really hurting with this. And I'm really struggling with it. How is it that as a parent, now please correct me if I'm wrong, as a father, as a dad, am I not to be in charge of my home? If I am wrong in this, I believe that's biblically correct, I am the leader of the home. How is it that the leader of the home it allows themselves to be turned 360 degrees and say and agree with the homosexual movement when we know it's wrong? So I struggle with this when I see people succumbing to this. We are in the fight of our lives, our spiritual lives, and we need to stand firm. And the only way we can do that is let's go back to what we read in chapter 15 of 2 Chronicles. We need to make a change and stand. You see what King Asa did. He looked at the queen and he said, no, what you are doing is wrong before God. And he did what he had to do. And that's where we as people need to be. We need to turn that the right way. That dial has to be turned the right way. And unfortunately, today it is being turned the wrong way. The floodgates are opening. Folks, we are in trouble if we don't stop it. we have fallen away. Read the book of Revelation, and it tells you what will happen to a lukewarm church. It tells you that Jesus Christ himself would rather spew you out of his mouth. That's you and I, if we are not going to stand firm in Jesus Christ. I said this would be an encouraging message. That doesn't sound so encouraging, does it? But on the flip side of that, if we are going to stand, we have a reward that has been prepared by Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that is going to be so perfect and so amazing. And that is what we need to go after. So let's go after it, and let's share the good news of what Jesus Christ truly offers. So my hope and my prayer is that we will be encouraged to be the people like this king was, and recognize that idol worship is sin. This form of peer pressure, that is sin. We're going to stand against it, and we're going to be firm. And people, I truly believe what happened to this nation is going to happen to us. We will be blessed. So before we go over to the second portion of the service this morning, I want to invite you to spend some time in prayer. I do have a prayer request that is up here, and I will read it to you as it has been written. Please pray for a man named George who is in Boundary Trails Hospital. Please pray for his physical and spiritual well-being. And that's all the information that is on this note. So I'm going to ask all of you that are willing and able to please kneel in prayer, and please remember George in your prayers. May the God of grace, mercy, and love grant us our petitions according to our faith.
Let's take our blue book and turn to number 275, More About Jesus. 275, let's all stand.
More of his love.
Well, thank you for that singing and that playing, and having prayed in the name of Jesus, you can be assured your prayers will have been heard. So let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. We want to look at verses 6 till 10. So Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatso a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let's go back a little bit here. When we look at verse 7, we recognize that God is not deceived. He is not mocked. He understands what we do. We go back to 2 Chronicles. We see what King Asa did. What did he do? He transformed the nation. Why? And it was in verse 11 or 12 or so. I can't recall the exact verse, but because his heart was pure. He had pure heart. And God saw that. And for that, that nation was rewarded. We are also told that in verse 9, we are not to be weary of well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In other words, if we do not give up. So, folks, we don't give up. My encouragement this morning is when we look at what I talked about earlier about the transition we've seen on peer pressure, and I understand there's still peer pressure in high schools and all those things and grade schools and what have you, but the world is putting on us as believers this peer pressure that we have to stand firm. We cannot give up, okay, and standing in our faith. To add to that, we also need to make sure that we stand up, we do not give up on those that are lost. We can't do that. We cannot ever give up. There's some powerful things that have happened, and I've shared here before in my life that I've seen about people that didn't know Jesus Christ. And then years after they were married to a person that loved the Lord, they were transformed. And they got to know Jesus Christ. To this day, we have fellowship with them. It's a pure joy when you see that happening. Why did that happen? People didn't give up. People kept praying for one another. Prayer is so powerful. And so if you feel that you can't do anything, you're wrong. Because you can. Get down on your knees and pray to Almighty God. Sometimes, I know we sometimes don't even know what we're supposed to pray. Well, God intercedes for us. And He will guide us in our prayer life. I want to turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. I would like to go and read the first three verses here. So in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. I want to go back here to verse 1. What's it warning us here? That there is a great cloud, that there is weight, that there is sin that easily besets us. In other words, leads us astray. But what are we supposed to do? It says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We are to persevere. How many of you, now this is an official poll that we're taking here in Winkler, Manitoba this morning. How many of you have ever run a race? Anybody? That's it? Come on, think back. Surely you ran some kind of a race. How about on a bicycle? I'm not going to ask about a car. Shouldn't be doing that. All of us have had a race or an event in our life. Every single one of us. Okay, if you don't want to admit to something like a race, how many of you have done anything competitive? That's better. You played a game, maybe with your grandchildren, and you still want to win, don't you? But you let your grandchildren win. We're to persevere in this game we call life, if you want to call it a game, and really it is not. But we look towards the finish line, don't we? You see Olympic athletes, you see any major athlete, you see almost any athlete in the world. When they are performing, what is their goal? They want to cross the finish line first, and then they claim victory. Well, we want to cross that finish line, don't we? So we got to move forward. How many of you are guilty of spending time of the things that you did in your past, way back there? I bet you all of us. We think of the things that maybe we shouldn't have done, like I did when I was in high school, and other things that I've done in my life. And that easily gets us off track. And guess what happens when we're off track? We lose focus. And the world is challenging us with all sorts of things that we can lose focus on. We gotta try to stay the course. How many of you are familiar with a racetrack? Like when they run the Olympics, you have, I don't know, 7 or 8 runners. If you've ever watched the Olympics, or if you've ever been at a high school event or anything like that, and they're running these races, and you see there's kind of lines, and each runner has to stay within the parameters of that line until they get to a point, and then they're free to run as in a tight formation. But they are given direction. This is how you start your life, or your race, sorry. And then we are not much different, are we? When we are taught in the church, in our Sunday schools, by our teachers, we are, and by our parents and family members, we're gently nudged, and we're carefully monitored within this path. And eventually that pathway sort of ends. And then we are kind of put into the whole entire group. Let's call that the world. And now we got to figure out where we are and who we are. And if we're going to get caught up in all the things of the world, we might be led off the track. So keep focused on what God has called you to do. Keep focused on the prize. And what is this prize? Well, it's our eternal home with Jesus Christ. I want to turn back to the book of Philippians. So in Philippians chapter 3, I want to begin at verse 7. We have to run the right race, don't we? So beginning at verse 7 in chapter 3 of Philippians, it says this: "But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do not count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for the which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." But Paul is saying, I don't necessarily understand this. "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." So we see here, as we look at this passage of Scripture, in verse 14, we press towards what mark? It's the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. That should be that's our finish line. That is what we focus on. And today, with all the distractions that we have in this world, and there are many, and I don't want to just pick up, pardon me, I don't want to just try to pick on one or two because there are so many. You want to know the truth? The truth is this: your distraction is different than my distraction. Your distraction is different than mine, and yours is different than mine, and yours is different than mine. Yours is different than mine, and yours are different than mine. But we all have distractions. And we get caught up in them, don't we? We're distracted. Let's focus. Let's focus on what we need to get accomplished. And what you and I need to accomplish is fulfilling our call to God, following Jesus Christ, doing our very best that we can. We have to understand something. We can do many good things, but that does not get you home. There is only one thing that can get you home, and that is having a personal relationship with Christ Jesus. We were told that we were supposed to do good to others. That's part of our new life, our new transition, but that is not salvation. Salvation is your relationship with Jesus Christ. So you do not give up. even though sometimes we see others around us are falling, we do not give up on them. Because I look back to my high school days. I was one of those that was falling away. My life was full of sin. And I do not stand in front of you as a perfect man. I am not. I still have sin. But what I do know is that I can bring it to Jesus Christ and He forgives me. And He will forgive you. But you have to go to Him. And anybody that is not a child of God needs to know this. So please get that message out. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. Even though sometimes you feel a little awkward about it, that's okay. I feel a little awkward up here sometimes, and maybe my colleagues to my left can understand that. I think we probably all do at times feel a little uncomfortable up here. But we're still here. I can't imagine how many times the apostles must have felt uncomfortable teaching this new fanatical religion of Jesus Christ. But they did. And today we have the Holy Scriptures. Use it well. Honor God and live a life for Him. That is my wish and prayer for each one of you here this morning. Let's close in prayer. Father, as we conclude this morning's service, Father, we just want to glorify You and thank You so much for Your goodness to us. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to cleanse and purify each one of us. And Father, we know there are so many people in this world who have decided not to follow You. Lord, we do not have all the answers. We know that. But we all have gifts. And Lord, we just ask that we use those gifts to honor and glorify You. And Father, You know which person or people that maybe we could make a connection with that would help draw them to You, that they would start to look towards You. Whatever we can do, Lord, help us and lead us and guide us through that so more people would come and have a relationship with You. And Father, for those of us that do have this relationship, we thank You that You have opened our hearts and our minds and our eyes, that we see truth. Father, I ask a blessing upon each one that has come this morning, that this time together, a fellowship of word and of singing, will be an encouragement, and that we will go forward and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray all this in His mighty name with thanksgiving. Amen. At this time, I want to give you another opportunity for some time in prayer, and just a reminder that you do not have to pray here in church alone. You can pray wherever you need. So again, for all of you that are willing and able, would you please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious to us.
Stay. take your blue hymnal and turn to number 289, Blessed Assurance. 289.
Blessed Assurance.
Thank you again for that singing and playing. Once again, having prayed in the name of Jesus, your prayers will have been heard. As far as this morning worship service goes, I have nothing more to share with you. I do want to say a heartfelt thank you to each and every one of you for coming this morning. May God bless you. Let's bow for the benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God and Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You may now depart with the peace of the Lord.